Donnie, take her.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. The next item is agenda item 24, fall and spring blackberry season and regulations.
Okay. Similar to cougar, the management objective in the game management plan for bears to maintain stable bear populations throughout the state. For black bear, we don't quite have the same refined research data that we have for cougar. This is the parameters that we're using currently for black bear. It's the percent female in the harvest, median age of harvested females, and median age of harvested males. And we have ranges of acceptable and restrict and liberalize using those three variables. These are very common variables that are used in many Western states. We're trying to step beyond these now, and we actually are in our third year of a black bear research project in a couple areas of the state, trying to get to that same level of data and information, demographic data that we have for cougar, for black bear, to see if there's any improvements we can make in how we manage bears. Right now, we are, for each of the, I'll show the bear management units here in a moment, for each of the bear management units around the state, we have nine of them, we're pretty much within these within this range of acceptable. These are the nine bear management units in the state, and so unlike cougar, that's larger areas where we look at all the information from the GMUs for each that's in each one of these bear management units and then make that assessment using those parameters I just showed you. In terms of harvest, statewide fall bear harvest has been fairly stable over the past several years. There's been ups and downs, usually related to weather and those kinds of things, but fairly stable. Spring bear harvest has increased. I'll talk about that more in a moment. We've seen increases due to just using it for a variety of methods. The reason we use spring bear seasons are all related to management needs that we have. We don't recommend spring bear season just for the sake of providing more recreational opportunity. We're tying it more to a management need where we think a spring bear season is the right tool to get to that management need, and I'll highlight that in a moment as well. I want to talk just briefly about bear complaints. A lot of times when we have a year like we did in 2010 here, or back in, you see back there in 1998, where when bear foods, natural bear foods are scarce, there's a fall berry crop failure or a spring berry failure, it seems like bears are coming out of the woodwork, and a lot of folks often interpret that as we have a lot more bears now, and that's usually not the case. It's that bears are very tied to their food sources, of course, and that if you have a fall mast failure and bears have a hard time finding natural food, suddenly they just show up in areas where you normally don't see them. And this is something we see every springtime, of course, in the I-5 corridor area. Bears come out of their den sites. There's very few natural foods. We see an upsurge of interactions with bears until that first berry crop happens in early summer. Don't want you to look at all this data here on the slide, too hard to read. I know, I just want to hit the highlights here. It's a little bit off the slide, but on this axis is year, with 2013 being on the top and then 2001 being on the bottom. The total number of bears that we harvest averages about 1,500 animals, spring and fall total. It bounces around from a high we see here in 2009 of almost 2,000 bears in the state. This last year of 2013, a year and a half ago anyways, 1,200 bears. Between 4 and 7% of the total harvest is actually from in the spring. In the last couple of years, we've harvested statewide, 61 in 2011 up to 86 in 2013. This number's gone up over the years. You just saw that slide, and I'll talk about why that's occurred. I've shown one parameter here of the percent female in the harvest, and you see quite a bit of variability in it, both in the spring and in the fall. And that's one of the reasons we're looking to get some better demographic data on living bear populations is these parameters are not quite as refined to detect changes in the population. They tend to see them over the long run and not in a shorter period of time. So for fall bear seasons, we're recommending status quo seasons. This is based on the discussion I just gave you, that we're within those ranges of those parameters that we have. For spring bear seasons now, this is a picture of what's highlighted here and hashed as all the areas where we have a spring bear season. I'll kind of walk you through why we have each of these. All of the ones on the west side of the state, with the exception of this is one we're recommending, but all the rest of these here on the west side of the state are all to address bare damage to timber. It's peeling the bark off trees on industrial timberlands and causing a tree mortality or reduced growth rate. And so we're working with landowners in all those cases to provide spring bear hunting opportunity to try to offset and mitigate that damage. In many of these areas, these folks have either used in the past or thought about using dogs for depredation hunts. That's not a recreational hunt, but that's where they request a permit to use dogs and to take bears to try to mitigate that tree damage. We're offering a spring bear season as another option, another tool to do that, maybe without the use of dogs. Up in northeastern Washington, these spring seasons in general have been tied to just increased bear activity and complaints in the springtime, sometimes associated with orchards, those kinds of things. In the Blue Mountains, it's a different reason. We actually saw back in 2000 in the Blue Mountains where the district bio in that area saw that he really wasn't meeting the distributional requirements that he'd like to see for bear harvest throughout the Blue Mountains and wanted to go to a spring bear season and assign a certain number of permits to each GMU. And so we tried that in that area, and it worked much better than the fall season. We were able to distribute the harvest better than in the fall season. We also found in the Blue Mountains that one of the things that we're watching and very closely with the spring bear season, of course, is cub orphaning. That's the big issue associated with the spring bear season. We actually found in the Blue Mountains, where we started spring bear seasons in 2000, we couple this with an educational video that helped people determine a male from a female or a younger bear from an older bear. We urge them to not take a bear or to wait a while and make sure they're sure of their target to see if there's any cubs nearby, all those kinds of things. We also actually found that in a spring season, we have the lowest female harvest compared to a lower female harvest compared to a fall season. So it actually does a better job of protecting those young offspring than a fall season does. So that's the purpose of the seasons in the Blue Mountains. So for our recommendation, we're recommending adding these two GMUs on the turn to my right page here. GMUs 681 and 684, Bear River and Long Beach. This is a situation where you've seen in the past couple years we've had an increase in the number of human-bear interactions. We've actually had to go into that area and capture and euthanize and capture and relocate several bears over the past couple years. There's been a history of bear feeding in the area by members of the public. We've tried to address that problem with recent legislation that allows us to issue fines associated with feeding bears purposely or otherwise. We're also trying to now reduce that bear population a little bit and use the spring bear season to do that. So that's one of our recommendations. The other one is to, this is the Lincoln County GMU 501 Weyerhaeuser. They've contacted us and asked to opt out after this current bear season for the 2016 April season. And then we're also recommending in northeastern Washington doubling the number of spring bear permits from about 200, just shy of 200, to just shy of 400. So doubling the number of permits in each one of these GMUs in northeastern Washington. That's just what it looks like in terms of on the table, doubling the permits for those northeastern GMUs, adding the two areas there around Long Beach and Bear River with 20 permits each, and then dropping the Lincoln GMU for the next year. All these recommendations would take effect not this April, but next April. In terms of the biggest change here, a recommendation is doubling the permits in northeastern Washington. It actually, when we look at harvest success, it's a pretty constant, around 15-17%. And so you can see that as the number of permits increases, we've got a pretty good idea of how many bears we're going to harvest. These are all past years here in green. So we've harvested this last couple years around 60 animals with the current permit levels. We're recommending doubling that to go up to just roughly around 100 bears harvested, predicted in those GMUs in northeastern Washington. The last thing I have is I talked about predator prey at the beginning. And although this recommendation is not based on predator-prey needs, this is a time of year when bears tend to prey on deer fawns and elk calves and those kinds of things, and so there might be some ancillary benefit, one that we're not going to detect, we're not out there to detect, but I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you, Danny. Mr. Keeney.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Donnie, a couple questions. One is the increase in northeast. I don't assume that's connected to tree farms in any way. That's more of what is the reason for that increase?
It's one that when we look at the bear harvest information that we have in that area, we think that we can provide some more opportunity. So the reason for it is for additional recreation opportunity. It's one also where, in terms of the public comment, we got a lot of public comment supportive of increasing bear seasons, particularly spring seasons up there. And so it's to provide that opportunity.
And that doesn't affect the population, that amount of increase. It wouldn't look like it would.
No.
My second question was, in the areas where you are doing this from a tree farm standpoint, is there a cost difference between letting hunters do some of that preemptive work, or after tree damage is done, sending someone out with dogs? Is that a cost to the Department of Wildlife to do this, the latter? And so is it actually a cost savings to do it with a hunt?
That's a good question. I don't think it's a cost savings either way. I think it's my gut feel is, I don't have the information, I have to get it for you, that it's a wash in terms of that. We don't provide it as a cost savings. When we originally started spring bear hunts on the west side as a tool to mitigate tree damage, it was, at that point, it was a three-year package, and we were asking the public, and the use of dogs was a big issue at the time and still is, the use of dogs to hunt bear, cougar, and those kinds of things. So we asked the public, would you rather do this way without the use of dogs, in lieu of dogs, but still try to address the problem? And it was more supported by the public. And so we took it forward to the industry and offered it there. Some of them like it. Some of them wanted to get out of the dog program and wanted to do something different, and they've been using it for a number of years now. It works for them. Others are just content using the dog program, and that's meeting their needs.
Thank you, Donnie. We have two individuals that want to testify. So, BJ and Bob McCoy, please, if you could come up.
Short legs. Okay.
Take it away, BJ.
Okay, for the record, I'm BJ Thornley, also known as Bobby. And I'm referring, and my interest, of course, is 101, GMU 101. And we do have a lot of bear increase up there. We're concerned about fawns, especially fawns. And our fawn crop is down. I testified yesterday that we're having problems with our herd coming back. And I think the bears have a lot to do with that. The doubling of the permits is an idea, but I don't think it's going to help anything, because what we appear to see is that the permits are handed out, and I think everybody and his grandfather anymore puts in for almost every permit there is. Therefore, people drop permits. Then when they get one, they're not about to travel all the way over there for a spring bear. And so we're not getting the hunters. I know of two men, who when they get a permit, they come. And they come over, but they were raised over there. Other than that, if you run into a bear hunter during that spring season, it's just terribly unusual. Okay, my suggestion is go with an open season for a limited time with a quota, a reasonable quota, and when you reach either, like we used to do on the Cougar, before we went out in the morning on Cougars, we checked the hotline, and there was a hotline, and we checked the hotline to know if the quota was filled or not. We could do the same thing on the bear, spring bear season over there. And that way, you know, we wouldn't take too many. But I would suggest that because the permit season isn't doing us any good, really, or doesn't appear to be. And we're up in the woods all the time. And if there were bear hunters up there, hunters, we'd run into them and know them, especially in the spring, because they'd stick out like a sore thumb. And so that is my suggestion for up there. And I appreciate the time to talk. Now, this is the last time I'm going to talk today. And so for Commissioner Carpenter, yesterday you were talking about getting youth into fishing and outdoors and into the teenage years. But I would suggest, I have a son who is very deeply involved. In fact, his email address is Mike Takes Kids Fishing. And but he starts with the young ones. Because if you wait until they get to mid-teens or early teens, you've lost them usually. And so, but there is a group in Lacey that is very active that he works with. And I think there's others all over the state. But we need to concentrate on those little ones.
We are going to.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Uh-huh.
Bob.
Bob McCoy, the negative Bob. we'd like to see status quo remained on the spring bear hunts. As far as commercial timberlands and timberlands go, research done here in Washington State showed that it's typically female bears who peel trees, and one of the big objections by the citizens of Washington against spring bear hunts is the orphaning of cubs. So if we're going out and we're shooting the boars, we're not solving the peeling problem. And if we're solving the peeling problem, we're shooting the sows and probably orphaning cubs. So that's one objection to it. And again, Humane Society, separate from me, sent along a handout that talks about some of the science and all. Then the other thing is the objectives in the environmental impact statement or supplemental impact statement. As far as both bear and cougar and wolf objectives, they keep referring to non-lethal prevention and coming up with new ways to try to mitigate problems. And we're pretty sure nowadays that broadcast hunting does not reduce the number of complaints from the citizenry. What's been very effective, especially over in Region 4, has been the outreach and education by folks like Western Wildlife Outreach, the Karelian Bear Dog Program. It's been a very successful and popular program and actually shines a very favorable light on WDFW. So I would say it looks like the number of permits probably will serve the purpose that's needed now. And so I would again ask for no action on the request. Thank you.
Brings to a close item 24. And the last